Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so many wonderful things to say to us, His people. The Lord our God is coming back. And at random, the Lord told me that His return is imminent. He told me many things concerning His return, and I'm very concerned about His return. I look forward to it for my sake, but the Lord made me aware of some things. There are many people that if He came at this moment, He wouldn't be able to take with Him. So He led me to pray for people that are living on the edge, so to speak. Some people live on the edge of hell. They get in strife. They get in unforgiveness, fear, doubt, unbelief, forms of it for different reasons. But strife and lukewarm living may not be what you think. I gave some examples of it, of lukewarm activity a few months ago. And when a person becomes lukewarm, they are leavened and usually baited. The best example I know of is King Saul. He was a king. He was a prophet. He once was a man of God. He knew God's ways. And he broke God's covenant because his focus was changed. His focus was not on God, it was on the people. When you look to man, fear looks to man. He feared the people more than he feared God. A lukewarm person has divided allegiance. They can't do what God say do, and that's it. They compromise somewhere. And it got so out of hand that he loved his position more than serving God. He loved his position of power more than serving man. When that happens to a person, they're just like he is, the spirit of Saul. That people don't just live from the mind, they live from a spirit, a suggestion. What are they persuaded by and why? If their love is towards God, they'll be they'll be safe in the Lord, because their ways will be God's ways, and they will they appeal to the Lord to do His ways. They do it on purpose. Now, a lot of times when I talk about following God, I share things. I deal with some things people go through. I went through it myself. Apprehensions, fear of the unknown. Desiring to be certain. And to do these things, I appeal to the Lord for help. And I monitor the Holy Spirit. And I know that it's, James in chapter 4, or was it 3? James chapter 3, he said, "Let us give the more earnest heed to the things." I'll just turn to it before I mess that up. But while I turn to it, we have to give an account for what we do, say, preach, and live, how we do things. And it's very important. Here it is. James chapter 3, verse 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things will offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body." So we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. He said, be not many masters. And a lot of times, once people believe they know something, they're clawed into it. Just like an eagle, when he holds onto a branch, he uses his claws. He ain't budging. And with revelation knowledge, you have to come to a point that you stand strong and steadfast in the word. But a revelation does not mean you can refute greater revelation. Jesus did the will of his Father. He was always growing, always learning. So when God introduced, when it's time, when you've passed tests, so to speak, and you've grown and from glory to glory, God will give you greater things to do, things that you have no experience in. That's when you're just going to have to trust God and go forward with it. The just shall live by his faith. You have to keep doing that. You're not just going to learn all you know and need to know for the rest of your life, and then you'll be a master for the rest of your life. It don't work that way. You may master some things, but you didn't master everything. Because when we, if as we follow God, the Word of God makes more sense to us. We operate in it according to what we know, what we've been introduced. And if you learn all, you know, you can study great men of God all day, but they were pioneering. The reason you like to study what they did, because they grew into the will of God. I watched a video about, that's the summer, how he learned to cast out demons. Nobody trained him to do that. Nobody, no man. He never, it happened as demonic activity manifested. A lady was acting like a snake, slithering on the floor. And he had to deal with it. He didn't know how to deal with it. He just took authority over it, and it worked. You can watch the video. It's still on YouTube. And when I watch this, some things you can get training for, but sometimes there's nobody to train you. And when you run into a problem, you can go back and see how Jesus did it, but rely on the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into this new era of time. You know, he will guide this new thing. That's what's new to you is, you know, God is a professional at it. And all you have to do is learn to rely on him and be adjustable. You follow him and you flow with him. You take cues from him. And he'll, if you do things in his, if you're accustomed to do things in his strength, you're going to be fine. But it's a good thing to see what people ran into, but never be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of anything. Satanic activity, demonic possession, all those things are under your foot. That's how you're going to have to look at it. Now, but when it comes to following God, you cannot have divided allegiance. You can't trust people where you should be trusting God. You got to trust God. You got to take him at his word. Jesus said that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And many people, that's why many people are in danger. They're in strife with their spouse, in strife with their children, in strife with their ex-spouse, their husband that they divorced, or the husband divorced them, whoever divorced who, you have to make it your business to forgive that person and pray for them and release them and never be in strife. But so many people, I've heard so many stories. People are in bitterness, and you're not going to get raptured in bitterness. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. You got to go to the Lord in prayer and find a way to forgive that person that offended you. I don't care what they did and who they are. You cannot hold bitterness and unforgiveness and go to heaven. That's not going to happen. It never happened before. So, you know, how many times I've heard people, they had cancer and they had a believing pastor that was praying for them, not the kind that'll say God heal sometime. People that went to bat for them. And they sought the Lord. Lord, what's going on? Why aren't they getting any better? And then the Lord reveals they need to forgive their sister. I've heard that so many, or their mother, or somebody. And when they do, they get healed. I know a man, he had trouble with his insurance. And the Lord revealed to him he needed to forgive his daughter's mother. And so He forgave her. And everything worked. His cancer was gone. And he was healed. I mean, everything worked out from that moment on. He released her. I don't think she forgave him, according to what he told me. But a lot of people are going to miss heaven because they will not forgive. Or because they didn't do anything against their lust habits. They still go and Uber women, looking at them, you know. That's dangerous. If you look at a woman and lust after them, that's the same as committing adultery. Now, Mark 11, chapter 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. See, when they were going into the city, Jesus went to see if there was figs on the fig tree. There were none. He cursed it. No man would eat from you again. I just skipped that part. We started in 19. Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now watch this. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you can't have doubt in your heart, and you must believe and have pure faith in your heart. And then it will happen. Even if you got doubt in your mind, you just can't have it in your heart. So your heart has to be steadfast and unmovable to God. You got to believe his word and not Satan's word. Did you get that? You got to believe what God said and not what Satan said. Not what the world, not what the world believes. Not what the world suggests. And no temptation. You got to believe what God said. And a lot of times, people have faith for salvation, but they don't have faith for promotions or finances, even though they have faith for healing. Sometimes people can believe for finances and struggle to believe for healing. But in any case, you got to have faith for what you're believing God for, and no doubt. And then it'll work. But let's go on. Verse 24 says, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25, And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But watch verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I don't want to be kicked out of the kingdom on a technicality such as unforgiveness. When I got saved, I wanted the life that God had given me on everybody. Even my, not just people I like, but my enemies as well. That was from the Holy Ghost. Because I was saved. I had a new heart. That's what a new heart wants to do. And I decided, I didn't know how to always do it. I saw that this was important. So I asked the Lord to help me with it. Why struggle with something so important when you can just ask the Lord for help? So some people I didn't feel like forgiving, but I forgave them because this is God. When I saw it please God, I was motivated. So the people that I forgave, an enemy, you know, they were my enemies. I consider them enemies. You know, neighborhood bullies, stuff like that. People that I fell out with. I forgave them. And then I saw that please God. Then I prayed for him. I wanted to make sure I had forgiven him. So I prayed for him. And then I said, what else? Who else did I not forgive? Well, I said, anybody, I did shotgun style. Anybody that offended me or if I offended them, I pray for them. Lord, I want you to forgive me for offending people. And I forgive people that offended me. I thought about it some more. Because I saw that I could tell that it pleased God when I did that. This is why some people struggle in faith too. And Pastor Jim talked about this yesterday. And he pointed out a lot of times people, they leave off verse 25. And it reminded me of the pastor that died in Africa. And he was affiliated, Bonnke, the German evangelist, he made a video of his testimony. He was dead 4 days. They embalmed the man. He went to heaven, he saw heaven, and the angel took him to hell. But his wife stood on a promise and believed God that he would live. Took him to the church so they could raise him from the dead, and that's what happened 4 days later. Now, when this happened, it astonished everybody. But when I watched the video, I don't remember this part. I saw his testimony on YouTube. When he was raised from the dead, he talked about his file. I remember that part in the video. And they tried to explain what that was, but what was in his heart, in the spirit realm, it was like a file. But the last part, in his YouTube testimony, he also added this. When the angel took him to hell, he saw it. He said, if you die right now, this is where you'll be. He showed him the place that Jesus prepared, the homes that Jesus prepared. And he did prepare homes up there for us. Beautiful. He saw all that. He saw the huge flowers and everything. But then the angel lastly took him to hell and said, if you die now, this is where you'll be. And he wondered why. He said, but I asked you to forgive me before I died. I asked the Lord to forgive me. Yeah, you did, but you didn't. Then the angel said this, but you didn't forgive your wife. He was upset with his wife. And he died because his brakes went out in his Mercedes. So he crashed the car and died. But thanks be to God, his wife stood on her faith. She had faith and no doubt in her heart. And the Lord let him come back. And people say that was God honoring Lazarus' request in modern times, letting us see the other side. In those days, most people that went to hell, it wasn't as well known as it is now. God has let many more people go and see the other side. And I saw hell briefly. I saw enough. And I don't want to see it again. But Mary Kay Baxter, Donna Wrigley, Bill Weiss. Bill Weiss had 23 minutes in hell. It's terrible. It's a terrible. Don't go to hell, period. Especially over a technicality like unbelief. Unforgiveness. Or anything. Now, Galatians 5 tell you that, a drunkard or a whoremonger or an adulterer, fornicator, pride, people that's in strife, they won't make it. They will not. When you're lukewarm, you have divided allegiance. I used to think that a lukewarm person is just a person that didn't have care, or a peace person that's, just lazy, don't ever minister the gospel. But that's not the way it is. People that live the life of God, they live from the heart. Even though they may not go out and witness or whatever, they live for Jesus everywhere, and they conduct themselves biblically. And they contribute to ministry. They'll be a blessing to people. They want to help people. And some people it's harder for them to reach out and minister because of their personality. You know, if you don't grow into it, you'll never get there. But, you know, Jesus said, go ye out in all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we do this as a team. You got to understand this. Everybody can't just uproot and go to another country and preach the word. We do this as a body, as a team. Everybody has a part. Are you doing what God gave you to do? Are you obeying him? You're not, you know, sometimes people, when you try to put pressure on people to do what you're doing or do what you think they should do, that won't fit. What fits is what God gives you to do. I'm playing a part with this broadcast. This takes a lot of time. It takes, I have to work to fund it, to fund the radio broadcast. People's lives are on the line. I can't just stop doing this and do something else because somebody wants me to. I have a protocol to deal with. I have to do this the way God give it to me. I seek to do as many broadcasts as I can. And I'm a family man. I have a wife. I have a daughter that needs me. And, you know, every morning I like to do a broadcast. Most mornings, that's the first I like to do them before I start working. Sometimes I have to work first, like today. I had something to do today, and then I'm doing this at it's almost 1 o'clock. So this is the thing. What God give you to do, you're contributing to the body, which is and the things that I'm giving will help people that God is. See, God is going to use you where you are or wherever he send you to, places that I'm not going to go. And this ministry is to help people know how to follow God, know how to know what to watch out for, know how to do warfare. God helped me teaching different aspects of his word because people need it that are out there already. See, God is wise. If you spend time with him, you'll do what is wise, and you'll do your part, and it'll be very effective. So, but you got to have your allegiance to God. Saul had his allegiance. His allegiance was on power and people. So anybody that get in that kind of pride, they always get in fear. If anybody start getting in pride, one of the telltale signs is they get in fear because they're wrong and they're doing an anti-Christian deed. When you get in pride, you put yourself first and you put others under you. And when you like it, that's a problem. But when you're in Christ, you seek to serve man and you rejoice when people do even greater than you do. Like David. When you're a king, a good king, a godly king, there were people that could fight better than David. Like Ahab, not Ahab, but like Joab. And I was trying to remember the other one. He was about to put he was going to put him over Joab, and Joab murdered him because he killed his brother. I just don't think of his name right now, but it starts with an A. I get that part. It'll come back to me. But and the Holy Ghost will give us supernatural recall. It's been a while since I read that, and but nevertheless. There were people around David that, you know, Joab was a much better fighter. You know, even though David had the courage to kill the giant, and Joab may not have had the courage, but in battle he was a much better fighter. He was one of David's top generals. He was the top general, and he was nothing to mess with. I'm telling you, that man was something else with a sword, and he knew how to kill. And he was better than David at doing so. But God was with David. Joab was just he was a warrior. David is a warrior too, not taken away from David. If he had to fight Joab, David would have won because God was with him. Just like Goliath was much stronger than David, but when God is with you, you're the majority. But man to man, Joab was a better fighter. That's just biblically proven. But see, this is the thing. When God puts you in a position you're going to honor God in that position. And you don't get jealous of people that's better at doing something. David was not an opportunist. God showed us this. He gave Saul into David's hand, and David would not kill him. In fact, David killed the Amalekite that did kill Saul, because he was looking to God, not a quick fix. He loved God more than power. So Saul was like a man that once knew God. God was working with him, but he went lukewarm. He had a love for God, but he had more of a love for the world. And he became, if God spits out something, it's something rotten about it. Now Doeg became Saul's henchman. He killed 60 prophets. I think it was 60 or 80. Not prophets, but priests. He killed the priest. I don't remember the number. I think it was 60. So that'd be 60. It was 60 or 80. I remember that from that much. But you don't kill a priest just because you think they helped David. He wanted to kill David. Then he killed the priest because one of them gave David showbread. And they were more righteous than Saul. Now, Doeg was the counter joker that Jesus would tell him. See, he was around Saul. He was considered an Israelite. So, you know, he was over the livestock. And people would have thought that he's one of us. Well, there are some people Jesus is going to turn to them and say, "Depart from me, you work iniquity. I never knew you." See, there are two types. The lukewarm, they had allegiance before, but they rebel. And sometimes they can be worse. Saul gave the order to this heathen. Doeg never had allegiance to God. Because even Saul's men wouldn't kill the priest for the king. Doeg did it. There are some, they never had allegiance to God in the first place. But when we first met Saul, he was very industrious. He took the matter all the way to the prophet. He was wise in his ways and doings. He was relentless. He was the goodliest man to be king at the time. So, no matter how you start off, how do you finish? What do you do with salvation? Jesus died for you, and he gave us guidelines. Are you going to do the guidelines, or are you going to do it your way? Another way. Will you let Satan bait you back into the evil works of the world? Or the evil deeds of the world, the evil doings of the world, the evil appetites. Are you baited with evil appetites? All these things are conquerable. You can conquer all of it. And the Lord will help you. You fill your heart with the word. See, I control everything through my tongue. James showed us that a very small rudder can turn a huge ship. You do it in God's strength. You fill your heart with the word and speak it by faith. You involve God. Anything you don't understand, God will fill in the blanks for you. And then you speak the word. You're going to always go forward by faith. The just shall live by his faith. It's not by... even when you get taught the word and you receive revelation, you got to apply it. Faith is the application of the word. It's applying the word that you do believe. You got to believe in your heart and you apply it by speaking it, acting on it. And so things that was a problem, the list of Galatians 5 that would kill you, I said I hate every one of them. It became a confession of faith, or a profession of faith. I speak the word against what I hate. What I don't want, what I don't need, things of the world. Now, just last night, in the middle of the night, I woke up and the Lord said, he's been talking to me about the rapture, it's about to happen. And he said, many people will look for that. He said it this way, many people are going to look for their people in heaven And then many people are going to look for their people on earth. And I never, I always looked at it this way. People that didn't get raptured are going to be looking for people that did get raptured. But it's going to go both ways. Now, I don't know why I never thought about it that way. Maybe I did, but I never thought about it the way he put it. You know, the same moment it happens, people are going to be looking for their children, their sisters, brothers. And some of them are not going to be there. Some of them are going to be there. And then on earth, people are going to be looking for their children, their parents, and their brothers and sisters and friends. And some of them are going to be there, and some of them are not going to be there. And hopefully none of them will be there. But, and it's set home. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. These things are going to wrap up quick. So whatever you do, make it count. Keep, and you can't do anything for God with Satan's mindset. You're going to have to do it according to the living word of God. And he's going to help you do all that's in his heart because he loves you. And I love you. These things are serious. See, the five wise virgins, they had oil in their lamps. The five foolish virgins, they didn't live by the word of God. They did other things. They let the word slip and their allegiance. You can't have divided allegiance. And that's the theme of this message. Keep all of your allegiance on God. Everything that's a problem, deal with it. And ask, but always ask for help. Do it in his strength. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Stay in victory. He loves us all.